produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Almighty, the whole earth is filled with His glory. Welcome back to another broadcast, another episode of Gems for the Journey, Wisdom from the Word of God. And we're your hosts, Matthew and Stephanie Garrity.
Hello, God bless you.
And we are founders and pastors of Lehigh Valley Worship Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And we're also founders of River of Heaven Ministries, which is a conduit for such a time as this, that God is empowered to bring His healing, His deliverance, restoration, new life in Christ, bringing awakening to households, cities, regions, states, and nation to restore and rebuild the tabernacle of David, as it says in Amos chapter 9, verse 11. And we're to look to the pattern of the tabernacle of David as a pattern for the New Testament church according to Acts 15:16. So we're called to restore and rebuild. We're called to equip and empower, as it says that the fivefold ministry is called. God's called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry so that we would all come to the full knowledge of Christ, that Christ would be fully formed in everyone, that we would all come to the full measure and stature of Christ. And we're also called to revive and heal. And through River of Heaven Ministries, we provide support monthly to widows in need, and also orphans, and people who have been struck by disastrous situations in their life. People who don't know how to make ends meet. People who are stuck in a situation, they feel like there's no hope. We believe that the Lord has clearly said in His Word that we're not to neglect the widows and the orphans. Matter of fact, in the book of James, God says that pure religion or pure faith is this, that we take care of the widows and the orphans. And so that's just a little bit about us, if this is your first time tuning in. But we're so happy that you've joined us for Gems for the Journey today. And we've been on this topic of the upper room. And how the upper room was not just something that showed up in Acts chapter 1 and 2. It's not just something that, you know, the followers of Christ gathered together or the Holy Spirit was poured out. But we have been talking about how the revelation of the upper room has really been a reality since the book of Genesis. From the very beginning, God was revealing characteristics and concepts regarding the upper room. And last time we talked about how Noah, you know, his name means comfort, and God called him to be a preacher of righteousness, and he preached the things of God, and then God instructed him to build an ark. And it says in the book of Genesis that he was to furnish the ark a cubit from the top. And up there he released birds from that place. And one of the birds specifically was a dove. He was in an upper room of that ark. And in and around that upper room, a dove was released three different times. And we talked about how it's a prophetic type and shadow of how the dove, the first time the dove was released, Noah released the dove. The dove went out, and the dove came back and returned because there was nowhere for it to rest. And that prophetically, that speaks of the Old Testament, where the Spirit of God was poured out upon people for specific tasks, upon judges and kings and priests and all these things. But yet, Holy Spirit also then returned because it was not his time to take up his residence and place of ministry on the earth completely. And then Noah released the dove the second time, and the dove went out, and it came back, and it found an olive tree and brought an olive branch back to Noah. We talked about how prophetically this symbolizes, I believe, where Jesus Christ, he is the root, he is the shoot, he is going to come back upon the Mount of Olives, he is the Prince of Peace, the olive tree, the olive branch is a symbol of peace. And he is known as the olive tree. He is known as the branch, the root, the shoot. And so the dove returned with the olive branch in his mouth. And we know that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. He came up out of the waters of baptism. The Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove. And basically, you heard the voice of God then say from that point, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so I believe prophetically as a type and shadow, the dove returning to Noah, the olive branch, speaks of the Spirit of God being poured out, coming upon Christ, upon the earth, but then also returning to the Godhead, because again, it was not his appointed time to take up his residence and his ministry upon the earth until Christ died, was buried and resurrected and ascended to the Father. And then Noah released the dove the third time. Somebody say the third time. And the third time that Noah released the dove did not return. Matter of fact, we don't hear any mention of the dove at all in Scripture after that. And this is symbolic prophetically of the Spirit of God being poured out in Acts chapter 1 and 2, where we hear about the Spirit of God will come and he'll indwell the believers, he'll indwell the followers of Christ. And then Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, he does come and he does not, so to speak, then return to the Father, because he takes up his residence of ministry upon the earth, where he still is to this day. And so that's just a type and a shadow of the upper room, of things happening around the upper room, of there being an understanding of the concept of the upper room, even from the time of Genesis, from the book of beginnings, from the very beginning. And we also touched, last week we looked at 1 Kings chapter 17 with Elijah and the widow, where Elijah comes to the widow and she has a terrible confession. The prophet Elijah comes and the widow says, "We just have this little bit, my son and I, and we're going to eat this and we're going to die." And the prophet's not affected by that. And he said, "Look, before you go and do what you're going to do, just bring me, bake me a cake. Make me a cake of what you were going to use just for you and your son. And then you are going to die. And as an offering really to the Lord, to the work of the Lord, and then basically watch what God does." And as the story goes on, we see that the son actually dies, the woman's son, the widow's son actually dies, and she basically gets what she'd been talking about. We need to watch our mouth because the life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so she says, "We're going to die," and then her son dies, and Elijah doesn't just throw up his hands and say, "Well, that's, you know, that's hard. I'm sorry to see that. And your son died. And well, you got what you said." He didn't say that. But it says that he took him to an upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord. and said, "Oh my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out in the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray let this child's soul come back to him." And in verse 22, then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah and the soul of the child came back to him and he revived. And we talked about how this is a type and shadow and really a rediscovery of the resurrection power of the upper room. See, the resurrection power was not just displayed in Acts chapter 1 and 2, but there was a shadow and type of it here in 1 Kings chapter 17, where the son of the widow was raised from the dead, and nothing could explain it. And later on, she goes on to say in verse 24, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24, the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this, because I see that the power of God is moving in and upon your life, because I saw that you weren't affected by my confession, that me and my son only have this little bit and we're going to die. You weren't affected by the circumstances. Now by this, I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Because he told her, "Give me your son," and God's going to raise him up. And that's exactly what happened. Hallelujah. And now, so today, we're going to talk about another aspect of the upper room. And honey, I find that so interesting that from the book of Genesis, that God's been revealing to his people, to his church, this concept of the upper room.
I agree. I think it's just amazing how it all goes from the Old Testament all the way into the New, and how some people, they focus so much on the New Testament, and they say, well, all the power and the miracles are there, but really it's revealed through the entire Word. It's revealed from Genesis all the way to Revelation.
Amen. Absolutely. You know, and that's why we need to understand the Old Testament. We need to understand the concepts, the types and the shadow. We need to understand the blueprint for us to truly understand the ramifications of the building, so to speak, in the New Testament. You know, you can't build a building without a blueprint. And the Old Testament is the blueprint for the building, for the actual fulfillment of Christ coming, dying on the cross and being raised from the dead, and then going back to the Father and pouring out the Spirit, and so that the Spirit of God then came full measure in the upper room. But what we want to talk about today is I want to talk about rediscovering the prayer of the upper room. See, the concept of this awesome prayer meeting didn't just start in Acts chapter 1 and 2. It wasn't just this, wow, we're going to go up to the upper room and we're going to pray. Did you know that there was actually prayer in an upper room in 1 Kings chapter 17, where Elijah cried out in a loud voice, "Oh Lord, hear my cry and raise up this young child"? That was prayer. But there's even a more powerful shadow of the prayer that we see manifest in Acts chapter 1 and 2 in Daniel chapter 6. And so we look at Daniel chapter 6. We know that Daniel was a prophet of the Lord that God called. The people of God were in Babylonian captivity because of their constant cycle of sin and idolatry. And they were put in captivity, and God raises up Daniel as a prophet, really a governmental prophet, or a prophet with a governmental anointing, to speak to power, to speak to rulers. And that's where we find Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1.
"It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said, thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree.
Amen. And so we see kind of the background here. First, the Babylonian captivity, and Daniel was prophesying to the king Nebuchadnezzar and then his son. And then they were overtaken, if you remember earlier, they were overtaken by the Medes and the Persians, and Darius here came to power. And Darius, you know, he liked Daniel, but the governors and the satraps, they didn't like him. They said, this guy's not like us. He serves his God too nice. You know, he bothers us. He's acting too righteous. We got to get this guy. They conspire against him. They have this unbelievable ploy to get the king to make this decree that says, if anyone calls upon anyone but you, king, either, you know, they can't call upon their God, they can't call upon anyone but you, they will be thrown into the den of lions. And the king says, he kind of feels puffed up, and he said, you know what, I kind of like the sound of that. And he goes along with it, and he signs this decree according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. It could not be altered. And so we see a really bad situation for Daniel. But you know, Daniel was a man of an excellent spirit. He was different than anyone else around him. It said that Daniel and the other Hebrew children, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were men of a different company. They're men of a different spirit. Remember back in Daniel chapter 3, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that would not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's wishes. And because of that, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. But they were not burned. Because as they were thrown in, it said there looked like there was a fourth man in the fire. And that one looked like the Son of God. Somebody say Jesus showed up. And Daniel had that same excellent spirit. Matter of fact, Daniel was the leader of the bunch. But yet people still conspired against him. They said, we need to take this guy out. And so let's pick it up in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, where we get a little bit more into the story.
Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days.
Now did you catch that? Daniel went where? He went to his upper room. Now he just basically heard his death sentence. Wow. I just heard that if I keep praying to my God, I'm basically going to be thrown to the lions and they're going to eat me up. But notice how Daniel was not affected by what he heard. He wasn't fearful, but he continued, as was his custom, as it says, to go where? To the upper room with his windows facing Jerusalem, with his windows facing the place of God, where they were in captivity in a foreign land, but his mind was always for the Lord. His mind was always to get back to Jerusalem, to get back to the house of God. But he was in an upper room with his windows open, unashamed. And he knelt down, it says, on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before the Lord. The New Testament says that we're to pray without ceasing. We're to give thanks and rejoice, for this is the perfect will of God for us in Christ Jesus. And so again, the upper room prayer was not just established in Acts chapter 1 and 2, but there was upper room prayer in 1 Kings chapter 17. And there was even more upper room prayer in Daniel chapter 6. Even in the face of calamity, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of, if you do this, we're going to kill you. Nevertheless, Daniel continued to pray. He continued to pray where? In his upper room. Hallelujah. Let's pick it up with verse 11.
Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. And when the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed.
And so we see here, we continue to see this unfolding. Really, it looks like a nightmare situation where even the king, you know, like I said, Darius liked Daniel. Darius had nothing against Daniel, but he was tricked by his people that he placed in areas of authority. He was tricked by his satraps and governors. They basically came to him. They appealed to his pride. They appealed to him as the king, and they didn't tell them. They didn't tell them secretly they were trying to snare Daniel with this. And so Daniel then looks like he's doomed. But remember, where was Daniel praying? In an upper room. So Daniel was praying 3 times a day. And basically, Darius knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. So what did he say? He said that, I know that your God, Daniel, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you, in verse 16. And so we're going to see, when you are a man, a woman of prayer, when you are a person of prayer, and you find that upper room, and you rediscover the upper room, you will be delivered by the hand of Almighty God. Let's pick it up in verse 18.
Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Hallelujah. And so we see, and it really what it's summed up here in verse 21. Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. But even, I believe, more so than that, what basically made Daniel that kind of man that was innocent before the king and that he's done no ill will toward anyone else is because Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel had rediscovered, or Daniel discovered the upper room. And if we're going to be a people of God, when there's all kind of lions and tigers and bears, oh my, around us, trying to devour us. Remember, the Bible says the enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you want to be protected from the devourer, if you want to be protected from the one that seeks to devour you and steal, kill, and destroy your life, we must rediscover the upper room. We must rediscover the prayer of the upper room. In the face of turmoil, in the face of persecution, in the face of threats, in the face of plans and ploys to take your life, we must be a people that will not faint back in prayer, but ever the more pray without ceasing. Pray, we must rediscover the prayer of the upper room, so that one day those who are coming against us, those who weren't sure if they believed in God or not, they would say that their God is the living God. And that they would even make a decree that says that in every area where I have a reign or rule, men must tremble and fear before your God, because he's real. Because he shows up. Because I've seen you. I know you're different. I know that you're a man of prayer. Even in the face of turmoil, in the face of strife, in the face of persecution, and even in the face of death, you hold on to your faith and you continue to be a man of the upper room. A man of the prayer of the upper room. And so it's fascinating to me how, again, this concept of the upper room, so many will dwell on Acts chapter 1 and 2, but God is so profound in his divine wisdom that he reveals things from the very beginning, many concepts throughout Scripture. And our heart is to explore more and more of these concepts, gems for the journey, wisdom from the Word of God. And so, if you'd like to support what we're doing here, if you'd like to help us reach more people with Gems for the Journey, with our ministry to the widows and the orphans and people who are hurting, who are in bad situations, who might feel like they're trapped and there's no way out, you can partner with us by going to our website, www.riveroftheaven.org. Again, that's www.riveroftheaven.org. And if you'd like to partner with us in prayer, you can fill out a contact form and we would love to hear from you, connect with us that way. If you'd like to be a financial partner, there's a way you can give a one-time gift there. We have a donate section on our website, or you could become a monthly partner with us and really help on a monthly basis to see the work of the kingdom of God go forward on earth as it is in heaven. But there's another way that you could support us as well, by purchasing the first book I've written called Holy Spirit, the Sevenfold Spirit of God. We believe during these challenging times, even during these times of the pandemic, the coronavirus, people need to really rediscover who the third person of the Godhead is, Holy Spirit. And if you'd like to get that book, you can find that by going to, again, www.riveroftheaven.org, and there's a resources tab you can click on, or you can find it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, and, you know, really you can look for it at any bookstore, and if it's not there, you can request for it to be ordered special for you. And so, again, thank you so much for supporting. You know, we do this based on donations, And you help us to fulfill the Great Commission, which says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we bless you today. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. And may he give you his peace. May you realize more than ever before that we're to rediscover the upper room, the resurrection power of the upper room, the prayer of the upper room, and just the life of the upper room. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you soon. Until next time, bye-bye.
Goodbye. Have a wonderful day.
We sing holy. We sing holy. We sing holy is the Lord. We sing holy. We sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Like Greetings, precious saints. This is Pearline from God's Precious Pearls Ministry, greeting you again. Greeting in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I pray all is well with you. I pray God's blessings on everyone this coming year. For many of us, the Lord has kept us throughout 2020, but for some, it has been extremely difficult. Many have lost loved ones, and let's be honest with ourselves. We have not seen anything like we have seen in 2020. Unfortunately, 2021 has not lightened up, and we do not know what tomorrow holds. But let's continue to love one another, pray for each other, help each other, and encourage each other. Remember, the Lord promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us, but He will be with us to the very end, so we need not be afraid. He also tells us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We will comfort each other with our Father's promise. I love this word from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Be encouraged as you read the rest of this psalm, and this is from Psalm 46. Before I go any further, I would love to say a special thanks and honor to the Lord for beloved CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network USA World, Miss Kayla Paget, and Josie from Josie Inspirational Radio Network USA World. Thanks also to Ewing Moving and Storage for sponsoring this program and for giving me and all the other ministers of Finding My Way Radio Network to speak words of hope and encouragement to our radio listeners throughout the four corners of the earth. The Lord said He would not return until His message is preached throughout the four corners of the world, and I'm truly honored to be a part of this mission. Let us pause to pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, it is in the mighty and precious name of Jesus that I come to You with praises and thanksgiving for the mighty God that You are. I thank You, Father, for Your love and Your mercy, which is new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning, Lord, so we thank You. Great is Your faithfulness. I thank You for Your promises that You will never leave us nor forsake us, but You will be with us to the very end. I lift up our listeners throughout Radio Land, and I pray Your blessings upon them. For those who are sick, I pray for healing in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that by Your stripes we are healed. I pray for those who are hurting, those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Oh, Father, those who, they're broken and they're grieving the hearts of loved ones, Lord. I pray for them today. We know that You're the God of all comfort. And Lord, I pray for peace, strength, and comfort for them. Lord, I pray for the elderly who at this time of their lives are not able to visit with other loved ones, with their children and grandchildren. Please surround them with Your love in the mighty name of Jesus. May they feel not alone. May they feel that they're not abandoned. Please visit with them and let them know that they're not alone, Lord. We pray for the children. This is a very strange time for them. And some may not understand what's going on. They're not able to go out to play and do the fun things that they used to do. So Lord, be with them. We pray for those who do not know You and do not have peace in these troubled times. Oh Lord, please bless our radio or listening audience. No, Heavenly Father, I yield to You. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My beloved friends throughout Radio Land, we're living in strange times, a time when we've been called to attention. In this time we're living in, there's so many signs all around us. It is time to redeem the time and draw closer to the Lord. Much time has been given to us with so many lockdowns. Yes, some of us, parents and grandparents, are, you know, we're busy homeschooling. We're doing things that we never had to do before. But what an opportunity to impart to the little ones. I'm enjoying every moment ministering to my grandchildren. The Lord wants us to spend time with Him, to get to know Him more. And He wants to speak to us during these times we're living in. He's actually calling us to intimacy with Him. It is time to redeem the time. Many of us have realized and observed that throughout 2020, it was not just COVID, but a call to forsake all and draw closer to the Lord. Everything stopped around us. The things that occupied our time were all shut down. In this global crisis, it was a call to stand in the gap and intercede. There is a time, this is a call actually, for intimacy with the Lord. What is intimacy? A very close relationship, a warm friendship, informal warmth of privacy, very personal and with assurance. Not the formal relationship we had, but a deeper call for walk and communion with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, to hear His heartbeat, His voice, His direction. The call to be is a call to be still, to be completely surrendered to Him. James 4:8 tells us, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Hebrews 11:6, part of it tells us that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So when we go to Him, we will find Him and He will fellowship and break bread with us. It is not just good to have a head knowledge about God, but we must know Him in our soul and in our spirit. He desires for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's only when we understand who He is, we will be able to truly know Him, fellowship with Him, walk with Him, and worship Him. And we then confidently go to Him in prayer, knowing that whatever we ask in His name, He will hear us and He will answer us. We cannot have an intimate relationship with someone we do not know. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing. We cannot and should, and we should be able to commune with the Lord. We should be, no matter what we're doing, we should be able to commune with Him. It is in Him we live, move, and have our being. If we think we can only have a fellowship with the Lord within the four walls of the church, we have missed it. I love those Holy Ghost encounters. Even when I make my coffee, you know, I remember those mornings I just get up to make my coffee. And there Holy Ghost shows up. You recognize His presence and you have to stop and worship Him. Just walking daily with Him. My prayer is always to walk with Him and talk with Him as Adam did in the cool of the day. I know many of you, my listeners, know what I'm talking about. I do believe we're living in a time when we will experience His presence more than ever before. The Lord promises in His word that in the last days, He will pour His Spirit on all flesh. Even in the midst of all that's going around us, He is pouring out His Spirit on us. We foster and develop an intimate relationship with the Lord by spending quiet with Him, allowing Him to minister to us as we minister to Him. You know, many times, of course, the best way to really hear, we know, to be still. Just be still. We don't have to be always talking. Just be still and listen, because His voice is ever so quiet, so gentle. As we worship the Lord, studying the Word, and having a life of prayer, living a life of prayer and fasting, that helps. Total separation and commitment to Him and ridding ourselves of any distraction, whatever the distractions may be. No longer do we worship from afar, because with you and with me, you know, it is to know Him intimately. It is likened to the book of Songs of Solomon, a marriage relationship, you know, as the king pursued this Shulamite woman. You know, He does not see us the way we see ourselves or how others see us. He sees us through His eyes, eyes of compassion. He chose us for Himself, and He wants to have a relationship with us. Like a marriage, we have accepted our groom, or the husband accepts his wife, and we too must accept Jesus as our Savior. This is the beginning of a love relationship with the Lord. A marriage without intimacy is no marriage at all. The child of God now yearns for her beloved and says, Lord, I long for you. I thirst for you. I want to know you. My soul cries out for you, oh Lord. You know, this is our cry. This is our prayer. This is what we pray literally every day. Lord, I want to know you more. We sing that. Lord, I want to know you more. Songs of Solomon 1:2-3 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Draw me away. We will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. This is a place and call for intimacy. The maiden desires intimacy with one person, and that is the lover of her soul. She recalls the intimacy she experienced when she first met the lover of her soul. Her heart longs for her absent bridegroom. She wants to know him more. The intoxicating effect of wine cannot be compared to the love of the bridegroom. We know how we felt when we were in sin and first felt the love of the Lord. His love is sweeter than honey. It was such a change, wasn't it? It's intoxicating. This is permanent. You know, wine, the outcome of drinking wine is just temporary, but the love, the sweet love of the Lord is so permanent. It draws and it is compelling. In the natural, we meet our spouses or husband-to-be, wife-to-be. Courting begins in preparation for marriage, then consummation. All this process takes time. It takes time of getting to know each other. It all depends. It all doesn't happen at once. It takes time. Spiritually, preparation takes place as we spend time in God's Word, in prayer, in worship, prayer, and fasting. In preparation, we are changed from the old to the new. Here, the fruits of the Spirit is developed within us. The believer, the bride, has met the Lord. She has grown to love him more. Now she longs for more. She's not satisfied. We grow, from glory to glory in him. She longs for intimacy, to know him more intimately, and to be totally separated unto him, the lover of her soul. She desires not to know any other but the one who has redeemed her and has given her the joy and freedom she has never known. There is now a new freedom and liberation in her soul, and she longs for more. This marks the beginning of spiritual freedom and confidence in the Lord. This actually takes us to a place of rest because our confidence is in him. In the natural, after we have met our spouses, we get to know each other through courting. No one else matters to us. We want to spend our time with each other. We do not want to kiss any other. We only long for each other's kisses. This brings us to a place of no return, a place of total commitment and separation unto each other. Here we recognize that this love is better than wine. We just can't wait to be together. In John 12:1-8, we observe Mary who anointed the feet of Jesus. This ointment was very costly and highly fragranced. This was an act of love and devotion to the Lord. He had saved her, and her desire was to worship him with her best. To the Shulamite woman, she saw his name so sweet and highly fragranced. The sweet perfume symbolizes the many graces that were evidently prominent in our beloved's character. We too aspire to be like Jesus by worshiping him as Mary did. We will draw from him his character and his graces, the fruits of the Spirit, which changes us completely. Our beloved's name is filled with a holy aroma. Therefore, do the virgins love thee? She recognizes that she is not the only one who loves him. All who are pure and whose affections have not been pledged to another are attracted to the Lord. You know, we cannot serve two masters. We, as the word tells us, we're going to love one or hate the other. So when we're totally committed to the Lord, we know whom we love and we know whom we hate. Eh? That's right. We are not only individually in love with the Lord Jesus. There are many virgins, those who have kept themselves pure and separated from the world, who are in love with him and long for him. The virgin symbolizes the hidden ones, the called out ones, those who are totally separated and called out unto the Lord, totally committed to him. There's no compromise in our walk in serving him. She is one of many virgins, and so are we. Like the five wise virgins, we are separated with our lamps trimmed, waiting for our beloved bridegroom. The anointed one is Christ Jesus. She says in verse 3 of Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is anointed, poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. You know, this sweet aroma compels, it draws. When we are separated unto the Lord, we begin to act like him and smell like him. We exude his presence and his fragrance and his character. Draw me, she says in verse 4. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy name, thy love, more than wine. The upright love thee. It is the Holy Spirit, our helper, who draws us to fellowship and communion with the Lord. We cannot do this by ourselves. We just cannot. We need the Holy Spirit. You know, Scripture tells us that it's the Holy Spirit who draws us to him. I just love, you know, when I'm drawing to prayer, I give thanks to the Holy Spirit because I said, Lord, it was you. The Lord said, no one can come unto him unless the Holy Spirit draws him. So I just give thanks to the Holy Spirit for bringing me into that fellowship with him. And I know what you know what I'm talking about. We know the joy and intimacy we experience in the presence of the Lord when we purpose in our heart to respond to the nudging of the Holy Spirit to spend time in his presence. He promises to reward us as we seek him. The king hath brought me into his chamber, she said. We'll be glad and rejoice in thee. Remember that, she said, we will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. It is here in the secret place of intimacy where secrets are revealed. This is the ultimate. This is what we long for. To be brought into, I just love this. To be brought into the king's chambers. We just don't want to be out in the court, but in the secret place. While courting, we cannot enter the secret place. We have to be married to be brought into the secret place. This is intimacy. This is the answer to our prayers. We have been brought into the secret place. Here we experience the sweet presence of the Lord, an intimacy we have never experienced before. And once we've experienced this, you know what? We always want to get back there. We, as a matter of fact, when you're there, you just don't want to leave. Here we don't want to leave, but to always abide here. But you know what? We have to continue with our daily chores and what have you. But it's good. We can take that with us. Because as we experience the presence of the Lord, we take all that. That's the anointing. And that anointing will help us to accomplish all that we need to accomplish. Remember the scripture. In him we live, move, and have our being. So everything we do it with the Lord leading and guiding us by his Holy Spirit. The king, we recognize the Lord as the ruling king of our lives. It is here we know who he really is. There is complete dedication to his rule and authority. Here is safety and rest. Here we have confidence in him. Nothing shall disturb our peace. We're satisfied. Here we enter the blessings and the promises of Psalm 91 as we abide in the secret place of the Lord God Most High. During COVID, this has been the prayers of everyone globally. So it is with us. We desire to be in the secret place with the Lord. Once we have tasted of his wonderful presence, his anointing, we desire to return to that place. It is here we understand and receive the fullness of his love and who he is. He is in control and he is able to perfect all that concerns us. We must first recognize the Lord for who he is, the reigning king. To run means to continually and have a continuous desire to be in his presence. When you say, we will run after thee, continually we want to be in his presence. The Holy Spirit helps us to do this. Here is answer to our prayers, that she would be drawn nearer to him. And it is our prayer also to be drawn closer to the Lord. It is in his presence our sins are revealed. We see the depths of our being. We acknowledge our sins and we confess and repent. She says in verse 5, I am dark but lovely. Here within the holy place, the Holy Spirit reveals to us our secret sins. She recognized her sin. She said, you know, what was hindering her. She said, my mother's sons, her children, were angry with me. She said, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. In the presence of the Lord, she sees her error, and so should we. What are the blessings and reward of intimacy with the Lord? No longer will we eat the crumbs from the table, but we will eat from the King's banqueting table, and we receive revelation from the Word of God. We are changed in His presence. Like David, we will speak the language of the Lord. God's presence gives us stability. Psalm 15:1 says, he who does these things will never be shaken. God's presence protects us and shields us from storms and troubles. Friendship with God gives us direction in the midst of confusion and uncertainty. Psalm 31:3 says, for you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Verse 4, pull me out of the net they have laid for me, for you are my strength. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. You see, the Lord, His eyes are upon us everywhere we go. And as we remain in His presence, no matter what we are, no matter what we're doing, He will lead us and guide us. I love the from Psalm 119, said, thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He will lead us and guide us everywhere. Hindrances to the presence of the Lord. Number 1, sin, guilt, and shame. 2, fear. 3, pride. 4, busyness. 5, walking in the flesh. Sin will hinder us from getting into the presence of the Lord. I pray this has blessed and encouraged you, and just stirred your heart to spend quiet time with the Lord and get to know Him more. This is the cry of my heart. I just want to use this time to spend more time with Him, just to be quiet and listen to His voice and to hear from Him and yield to Him and be obedient to Him. For those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to surrender to Him. He has been waiting for you and He's been calling you. And especially during this time, there has been a call to be still and know that God is God. A time to be still, to be quiet, to wait on Him and to pray. I just pray a blessing upon everyone. And for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I invite you to surrender, to surrender. This is a time to surrender to Him. Give your heart to Him and cry out to Him. And invite Him to be your Lord and Savior. I ask you to take that quiet time. Just examine your hearts and surrender to Him. The Holy Spirit is tugging you. And as you're listening to this message today, and if you do not know Him, He is speaking to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, died for your sins, died that by His stripes you are healed. If you're sick and you need healing, He's here to heal you. But just be quiet. Examine yourself. Surrender your heart to Him and invite Him in. Should you like to contact me, you may contact me at gppearls@ptd, which is Paul Tom Donkey, ptd.net, gppearls@ptd.net, or you may contact me on Facebook. My name on Facebook is Pearline Jackson Friday, or God's Precious Pearls Facebook. Or you may go to my blog site, which is godspreciouspearls.blogspot.com. I pray blessings to all my listeners, and I pray that the Lord God will keep you, that the Holy Spirit will continue to draw us all to the feet of Jesus. He's so sweet. He's so sweet. He's so sweet. Oh, just worship Him, just surrender to Him, and just wait on Him in this hour and pray. He's looking for intercessors. He's looking for people to pray in this hour. It is time to pray. We've never seen things the way they are today. So let's pray. Beloved listeners, God bless you. Until next time. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313, toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560, toll-free international callers. text 1-888-201-5313.